KPFA local station board meeting with delegate assembly today on May 4th. It is 11:20 a.m. 2019. Let's get the year straight for sure. So, we'll have the secretary do the roll call.
Good morning. Sharon Adams.
Present.
Sharon Adams present. Ahmad Anderson is going to call in. Marilla Arguelles. Marilla Arguelles present. Daniel Borgstrom. Daniel Borgstrom here. William Campisi. On his way. We'll get back to that. Chris Corey.
He's on his way.
On his way. Brian Crowell.
He's on his way as well.
Okay. Susan De Silva.
Here.
Susan De Silva here. Shira Dedman is going to call in. Don Goldmacher. Don present. Christina Huggins.
Here.
Christina Huggins here. Lily Kimura. Lily Kimura here. James McFadden.
Here.
James McFadden here. Noni Session.
Here.
Noni Session here. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Aki Tanaka here. Andrea Turner. Asked for an excused absence. Tom Voorhees asked for an excused absence or may call in. He may call in. Okay. Well, we'll work with that. Okay. Carol Wolfley here. Sabrina Jacobs. We'll see. Darlene Pagano. Darlene Pagano here. Tim Lynch asked for an excused absence. Frank Sterling.
Here.
Frank Sterling here. Richard Walensky.
Yep.
Yep. Richard. Steve Zeltzer.
Here.
Steve Zeltzer here. Quincy McCoy. Quincy McCoy here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 with Brian. Did you say Andrea also? Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. So we have a quorum. I'm noting that Andrea Turner is present and Brian Crowell. Okay, I move that those who've requested excused absence be excused. Do I have a second?
Been seconded. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? No opposed? Motion carries. We're going to review the group meeting and email list agreements. Audio recording of LSB meetings are available at kpftx.org. No video recording permitted at LSB meetings. Communicate with each other respectfully and speak using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name calling or personal insults. Use attribution of sources and documentation when making statements or assumptions about other people or groups. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic without repetition, following group procedures, and respecting the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack. Raise hands to be recognized by the chair, honor individual time allocations per share, and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. Honor board confidentiality. KPFA local station board members are required to keep all job performance information related to KPFA management, paid and unpaid staff and volunteers confidential to be shared only within closed LSB session meetings. If a situation arises when an LSB member is not willing to honor the above agreements after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting. And the next order is to approve the agenda. Have people had an opportunity to review the agenda? If not, please take a moment. Yes. Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All on the motion to approve the agenda, raise your hands, please. Could you do that? Thank you.
10.
All those opposed? All those abstention? Any abstentions? The agenda is approved. And we're going to have the general manager's quarterly report now. Thank you, Quincy.
There's a stand if you want it.
Oh, where is it?
You want the stand?
Test. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is the first quarterly report. My opening may sound familiar to a few of the vets on the board. It's a message that I've delivered for almost 5 years now to the newly elected board members. So far, this message hasn't resonated on the level that I believe is necessary to truly assist KPFA in moving forward as a financially sustainable independent media outlet. First, I'd like to welcome aboard all the newly elected members. Coming from a lifetime of radio, I trust you'll understand when I say that I hope that you're here to listen. I hope that you'll put aside any kind of preconceived assumptions, ideas about what is right or wrong direction for KPFA, and first strive to understand that all successful boards are a product of teamwork. It's not about any individual, it's about us and what we do collectively. Ideally, these meetings are an opportunity for everyone to become connected to what the station is doing and to help energize and support those efforts. In a successful board, relationships need to be open-ended, joyful, spontaneous, and in a true partnership with each other, a dynamic source of ideas, resources, and energy. We need to target our objectives and not be distracted. Our board's primary responsibility is to focus on the big issues that management brings forth, the important problems facing the station that need tackling. There is a networking component to your job, a readiness to share contacts that may have valuable resources to offer, and to steer the organization towards a sustainable future by adopting sound ethical policies to ensure that KPFA has adequate resources to advance its mission. Therefore, everyone serving on the board must be an enthusiastic and actively involved in raising money. Our biggest area of need is fundraising, yet we have not one committee established to help brainstorm, create, and assist with successful fundraising projects. If several of you could direct your energies in this direction, that would be a major step forward. Off-air fundraising is a crucial part to our survival. Fund drives are our lifeblood, and additional funding offers us the flexibility to improve the station's equipment and other operational needs. Today we're doing something different. I've invited my staff, those who could attend, to introduce themselves with a short bio, their job description that outlines their responsibilities and their goals to you. Plus, we'll be passing out a department head organizational chart. So let's begin with my bio. I'm Quincy McCoy. I'm the author of No Static, A Guide to Creative Radio Programmer, winner of the International Peter Brock Award for Feature Writing, and a former co-chair of Youth Radio's Board of Directors, and a recipient of 2001 Peabody Award for Significant Meritorious Achievement in Broadcasting. I'm the former vice president of radio for Rhapsody America, now called Napster, and was VP at MTV's digital music program for 8 years. I'm a radio and music industry veteran, having worked as a major market on-air personality, program director, operations manager, radio executive, and columnist. Before my stewardship here at KPFA, I was executive director of MOCA, the Children's Museum of Oakland. General manager.
Excuse me. Are you taking a video? Okay, just checking. Thank you.
The Office of General Management is responsible for smooth functioning operations, engineering, production, business development, and communications departments. As general manager, I supervise the preparation of the station's annual budget, along with business manager, create and develop programming and fundraising strategies on and off the air, oversee the development and strategic plan for the KPFA website and social media services and campaigns. I interact with staff and try to provide a fun, safe, and productive work environment for all. I try to strengthen the rapport and collaboration with the KPFA programmers, share mission-critical information with the staff to advance the integrity of our objectives and to build trust. Coach and challenge people to develop their management and on-air skills by providing constructive feedback and advice to improve performance. Like all Pacifica GMs, I report directly to Pacifica's executive director. So next, I'd like to introduce you to our chief engineer, Brian David.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm really not that big. I request no pictures be taken of me or videos. Thank you. No worries. So I'm Brian David, chief engineer at KPFA. I started having an interest in technology, radio, and politics at a young age in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. In the 2000s, I volunteered with the Independent Media Center of Pittsburgh as a systems administrator. In 2012, moving to Oakland, I joined Youth Radio as the technical director. In 2015, I founded a web hosting company that provides sliding scale services for activist groups. And along that time, I retained KPFA as a client for technical consultation whenever they launched the new website. In 2018, I accepted the role as KPFA's chief engineer. As chief and engineer, my primary responsibility is for the technical operation of KPFA's radio networks of streams, stations, websites, translators, maintaining all of its equipment, ensuring compliance with the local, state, federal, and technical operation rules and regulations at all times, as well as maintaining around-the-clock broadcast capability. Chief engineer administers computers and networking systems, responds to or assigns a qualified technician to respond to technical emergencies, and serves as general manager in the times of his or her absence. But the fun stuff. So as engineering has been restructuring and developing, we've accomplished a few things in this first quarter. One is Station Admin, a constituent relation management system designed to meet the needs of small to medium-sized nonprofit radio stations. It's a suite of tools that brings donors in closer relationship with their donations, station managers and hosts with the donors, and statistics and reports for everybody. Two, Staff Resource Guide. We've broken ground on organizational transparency and articulating our organizational framework. This begins by providing department descriptions and key responsibilities through an organizational chart, which we have copies of. Three, automation. We're scheduling shows for broadcast in advance, restructured operations department to provide greater hours for production, and empowered host and producers through training and procedural guidelines. Four, upgrades. We've replaced the security cameras in the building to bring greater account of activities, installed a new lobby TV to communicate with guests about our station and upcoming events, and showcase fund drive information in real time during drive time. And the horizons. We wish to extend beyond radio to repair, rebuild, and rework community relations. To do this, we're going to build new digital studios at KPFA. As a great radio station, we want to use the best-in-class digital and analog equipment. We'll be securing grants and budgeting to rebuild the on-air production, KPFB, and news control rooms and studios. We're also taking interest in an idea of expanding KPFA's network. We've expanded contracts with providers to begin the idea of providing internet services as a thank you gift to donors. Three, the KPFA app. We've secured a developer to build podcasting, membership, and radio app for KPFA in 2019. And four, Hindenburg. A great radio station uses industry standard software to make digital audio editing easy. We look forward to a simplified workflow as well as a greater attention to audio quality. In quarter one, we conducted usability surveys to staff to inform our decision. And next, our team member needs no introduction, business manager Maria Negret.
Just for one moment, to let the record reflect that Bill Campisi has just joined us, as well as Sabrina Jacobs. And can, who is on the line, please? Are they identifying themselves?
Yeah, Tom is on the phone.
Is it Tom? Tom is there. It's Tom. And let the record show we've got Tom now. Tom Voorhees. Can you hear us, Tom?
I can, but I have not been able to make the video work.
Okay. He's not using it. We've just got the audio. Thank you. And did I say Chris Corey yet? Chris Corey's also joined us. Thank you. Go ahead. Maria is on.
Hi. I apologize for my voice and I'm not my usual self. Quincy told me that my bio was too long. That's because I love to talk about myself. I studied accounting and business both in high school and in college, which is strange because accounting is very dry and solitary. I'm a people person, an idea person, and I love to talk. In my 35-year career, I've worked for companies of all different sizes in many different industries. I worked for large companies like Computerland Corporation, John Brunner Furniture Company, if anybody remembers John Brunner, and ADP. I worked for small family-owned companies such as Spudge's Car Wash and Detail Center, who, depending on the season, we had anywhere between 80 and 120 employees with a 70% turnover rate. It was very grueling, the payroll. In my accounting career, I've been a billing manager, accounts payable manager, staff accountant, revenue accountant, kind of just over 35 years, done it all. Using my finance knowledge and my love of working with people, I tried to get out of accounting and go into the real estate world. Well, that old saying, too little, too late, when 2008 hit, I was gone from the real estate world. KPFA came along. I came on as a temp, and 10 years later, I'm still here. I'm no longer a temp, by the way. And I always say the reason I still am here at KPFA is because I'm damn stubborn and I'm persistent, and, you know, I think of myself as the gatekeeper. I just make sure nobody comes to our money. I'm big on quotes. Some of my favorites are work smarter, not harder. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You don't have to know everything, but be resourceful and search for the answers. It's a lot easier now with the internet world, of course. And when I go to sleep at night, I know that I've done my best and I've been the best person I could be. I try to follow this with everything I do. I'm fluent in Spanish and I'm fluent in Excel. So many of you know that I have pretty good Excel capabilities. Anyway, Quincy, I promised him I wouldn't read all of these, and you'll get to read them later. But my official job description is from 2005, and it has changed tremendously over time. But there are 25 line items on my official job description, but if we really put them all down, it probably would go into two or three pages. But I prepare the annual budget. I do bring often here budget to actual income statements, make sure that we have cash flow, make sure that we pay all the bills on time. I deal with all the vendors and make sure that we have the best contracts available. Speaking of vendors, just one little thing I didn't put in here. Brian David and I, mostly Brian David, worked very hard at bringing down our phone bills by thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, yes. We still even had fax lines in, like, the GM office. And,
it didn't exist.
Yeah, faxes didn't exist. And the old dial-up and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, over the last year, we've done some tremendous improvements. I have Angie, something else I didn't put in here, and I really need to speak about Angie. If I didn't have her, I wouldn't be here because I'd be dead. She does all of the stuff that I don't like to do, the data entry and all of that nitpicky stuff, and that gives me the chance to be out and doing the stuff that, you know, I feel is really important. Short-term goals for our department. We are finally going to automate, our time-keeping system. So currently, the employee fills out a time card. They give it to me. I put it in an Excel spreadsheet. I give it to the payroll person. She rekeys it all in. So that's three different people that have to touch the same item. And doing so, there are often problems. People get forgotten. Time gets put in wrong. It's very task redundant and, you know, a lot of error. Or can happen. Not a lot of error. Some error. Anyway, employees will also be able to request time off and check their balances in the time off. Let's see. Finally, I've been given access to Paylocity, which is going to be able to give me the opportunity to analyze the hours and the pay, which now the way I have to do it, if I want to analyze anything like that, I have to combine 24 spreadsheets, and that's extremely time-consuming. So anyway, and then one of my favorite things is we're going to be automating as best as possible with the help of Brian, David, and Brooke, automate our pledge payment entries so I can put everything into our books more accurately, faster, and just be more streamlined. Long-term goals. Over the years, I think many of you have known that I've kind of assisted Pacifica in a lot of different ways. Anything from helping to chase out rats from 1925 to, boxing up old files and everything. But anyway, I continue to help the executive director, the non-existent CFO right now, and Netta. I don't know if you all know about Netta, and if I just can kind of divert a little bit. Netta is a – do they know about Netta? Okay. So Netta, and I forget what the acronym stands for, but it's an accounting firm that Pacifica has hired on that is going to take over all of the accounting for Pacifica. When they first came on, I have to say I was a little standoffish and I wasn't happy about it. But knowing that they're not going to come after my job, I was fine because they're going to be LA and I and us and Texas are all going to have their business managers. But the East Coast stations and the national office are all the accounting is going to be handled by Netta. And that is going to be wonderful because there will be a third party who doesn't have, a skin in the game or whatever it is that they say. So they're going to be very objective. And they already have been. The business office tasks are important and often repetitive and boring. Therefore, my goals are to improve all the processes that happen in the business office. Be more accurate, and as I mentioned before, work smarter, not harder. Thanks to the management team that we have in the last year, things at KPFA have improved tremendously, exponentially. I will continue to work with everyone and strive to find the most economical ways, but the best ways to improve everything at KPFA. My accomplishments. Over 10 years, I always feel like the glass is half empty. It's like, there's always more to do. But when I tell people I work at the radio station, they ask me if I'm an on-air personality. I respond that I don't do anything as exciting as that. What I tell them is that I am proud to support the people who do the important work of educating our listeners. Holding my breath and stomping my feet. These are my accomplishments. Holding my breath and stomping my feet. Finally, being given access to Paylocity's web time. Pacifica management had been very resistant about this. So I've been pushing. And finally, after about 2 or 3 years, I finally got there. On a shoestring budget, functional and aesthetic improvements to the KPFA facilities, and solving the flooding problem in the back of the ground floor. And then I present to you Antonio Ortiz, who's also done some tremendous work.
Thank you, Maria.
All right, so I'm Antonio Ortiz. I'm the operations manager. And before I start, because I do know some of you personally or through working at the station, and some of you I don't know, and so I'd like to just make some eye contact. For those who I don't know, I'm available at the station to meet, talk, you know, and I would love to know everyone on the board personally and give you a tour of the station. So you're always welcome to contact me. My email is antonio@kpfa.org, and that's the best way to get a hold of me, okay? So for myself, I am a UC Berkeley graduate. I graduated with a BA in comparative literature. It was my excuse to study French and Spanish literature. And then I started my broadcast career in broadcast media in 2001. I started interning at Berkeley Community Media. It's a public education and government access TV station in Berkeley. Worked my way up to become a programming assistant and into the programming department there. And then I moved over to KPFA because a lot of things that I noticed in public access TV is that people really focus on the visuals, but the audio was just not good. So someone told me about the apprenticeship program, got into there in 2004, and then from there just worked my way up from being an apprentice, then working as a news tech, becoming an engineering assistant, then by the end leaving there in 2015 as a network engineer, PC network engineer. Some other experience I have that I'm really, it's very traumatic, but also I was very proud of, was working for a worker-run collective, Free Speech Radio News. And the reason why I say traumatic is because a lot of times with worker-run collectives, I love the mission of it. I love the idea. And when people are all on board, working and doing what they need to do, it's a wonderful experience. Unfortunately, when it gets terrible, where people start to argue, it's one of those that can be is very draining. And so we've had a lot of processes of going through and just having to have two people who can't get along just talk it out. And we spent hours and hours doing that. And all of that stuff, I would say, just gave me a lot of experience with working as an operations manager for KPFA, right? So then from there, just something for you guys to know. It's not necessarily important for everyone in the world, but I'm a U.S.-born, second generation Filipino-American citizen. I'm queer, just in case that matters to you guys. And raised in San Diego from a working-class parent who do janitorial services at a school district in Southern California, right? So let me tell you about the operations department. So the operations department ensures that the highest quality audio content airs on KPFA's FM, online streaming, and podcast channels by managing the process of content creation to broadcast. Responsibilities include training programming staff, scheduling, planning, organizing, coordinating, and controlling all of the resources needed to produce a program. So in a nutshell, the programmers, once they have their content, it really just goes to us, and we make sure it goes on the air or on the website. My job description, so I oversee the production of radio programs and podcasts by ensuring that the organization is well-organized, labor-saving and cost-effective, streamlining production systems to provide a smooth, efficient workflow that meets the needs of content creators, and providing training and support to staff as needed. All right. So short-term goals. What I would love to do is continue streamlining the operations department to better serve programmers and listeners. I think we've made a lot of strides this year, but there's a lot of more work to go. Provide radio production and post-production training for KPFA staff, both paid and unpaid. We're going to be starting a training program in May and June to help people beef up skills. It's a pilot program, and it's available to everyone on staff who is working doing radio production, right? So I want to give them more skills, more tools in the tool belt. And then train operations department interns radio production skills. Since last year, we really haven't had interns in the operations department. Since June of last year till now, we've already had five of them. Three of them are getting tested out to become fill-in board operators and technical producers. So I'm really excited about having new talent coming into the building. Right. And then my long-term goals, or the long-term goals of the operations department, is to prepare the operations and programming departments to be able to do more specials and remote broadcasts that help KPFA better serve the community. That is my ultimate goal. Right. Accomplishments, improve communications between programming and operations department staff. We've automated studio reservation requests. The studio reservation request system has been automated, which has been great for our programmers. We reorganized the operations department to better serve the current needs of the station. So now most of the board operators have been changed to become technical producers. So they are assisting and working with programmers specifically to help them get their show on the air and improve the quality. But this is still a work in progress, and so a lot of tweaks are going to be happening in the near future. But my whole goal is to make sure that all programmers in the building get the support they need. And a big one is for volunteer programmers, because a lot of them will come into the station. They're giving a service to the station, and when I hear them saying that they don't feel like they're supported, my goal is to make sure that they are supported. And then we're going to provide staff training, and it's going to happen this month. And then the internship, which I talked about. Just one thing to note about our interns. So they're getting trained on how to board up, engineer studio recordings, editing KPFA specials and regular programming. Just things to note, like the first intern I had was a 15-year-old kid, and within 2 weeks we had him helping Kevin with editing a special broadcast. So I'm really excited about being able to provide people who are interested in working in radio experience. Our second intern, by the end, I had her assist produce for the KPFA Crafts Fair, and we did that as a live broadcast and gave her experience to do that. So my goal is to bring more people in, and most of them have been youth recently, but I would love to be able to provide that service, that experience to folks in the community. Okay, and then up next, it'll be Brooke. Thank you.
Thanks, Antonio.
Hey, folks. Hi. How's it going? Is everybody awake? Okay. Sweet. Okay. So my name is Brooke Caputo. I'm the development director for KPFA. I am working full-time. This is the first time that KPFA has had a development director since the late 90s. So I'm rebuilding that department. I was born and raised in the East Bay and grew up, as many do, with a familiarity with KPFA. I studied at UC Berkeley and have had a professional background in radio and fundraising for the better part of 14 years. I originally came to KPFA in 2013 as an off-air coordinator for fund drives, working with Phil Osagata. When Phil retired in fall of 2014, I stepped in to run the subscriptions department and stayed on until fall of 2016. When I left, it was to explore more of the development, grant writing, and fundraising strategies outside of radio. And returning to KPFA, I hope to translate some of those strategies for the benefit and sustainability of the station. I've been back since about July of 2018. Do I really have to come closer to the mic? Well, either way, right? One or the other. My job description is the development director is responsible for the creation, structure, and oversight of all aspects of fundraising revenue streams for the station, building individual donor relationships and outreach while ensuring donor information is updated, accurate, and secure. Foundation work and grant writing is also a part of my job description. On-air fundraising and campaigns is something that I oversee. And I'm also responsible for supervising our membership coordinator and temporary staff during on-air fundraisers. For my department, the short-term goals are to develop deeper relationships with the current major donors that we have to strengthen and support them and the support that we already have at the station. We do have an incredible amount of support and an incredible amount of donors out there who really believe in this station. and nobody has been talking to them. So it's really important that we actually secure the funding that we're already getting by actually reaching out to these people and talking to them and telling them that they're important. To start, I'm also going to begin the work of grant submissions and grants funding, which is definitely possible. I think there's been a misunderstanding that for a long time we haven't been able to get grants. Since I've been back in July, I've already secured one. So I don't think that we can't get grants right now, because we absolutely can. To reach out, I'm also going to be reaching out to foundation money managers to establish visibility and trust among foundations in the Bay Area. There's a ton of nonprofits and therefore a ton of foundations. So I'm going to be going out, meeting people, making KPFA visible again in the fundraising arena out there. For the long-term goals of the department, in collaboration with Brian David, we've designed a new donor database, which will be the foundation for healthier financial reports, donor information, and active development. We are currently moving out of the original donor database called MEMPSIS. We've been using that donor database since the late 80s and have essentially not updated it since then, which has hindered KPFA's ability to really act like a normal nonprofit and raise money like a normal nonprofit, which we can. We can raise money like a radio station. We can raise money like a normal nonprofit. So this is going to be the foundation to rebuilding the development department and rebuilding our ability to raise money effectively. Second long-term goal is to establish membership levels, which will de-emphasize premiums and create stronger relationships between the donor and the station. We believe this will not only be more cost-effective, but strengthen KPFA's mission and branding. So we're going to be essentially creating, as you see at many other nonprofits, membership levels for people to have a relationship, a standing relationship with KPFA as a station. So the entire relationship of somebody with KPFA won't be contingent on the book that they get or the DVD that they get during the fund drives, which it basically is now. That's the only recognition that they get that they're a supporter of the station. Third, we're going to strengthen and expand KPFA's donors and diversify the fundraising strategies and tools for KPFA to create sustainability, which I've already kind of talked about. Lastly, Katie Tertoka is our new membership coordinator. She has a strong background in volunteer management and coordinating and is beginning to breathe new life into the relationships with our volunteers. She hopes to create more structure around volunteering with KPFA and hopes to see you all volunteering in the phone room during an upcoming fundraiser and to say hi. So there's lots of opportunities to volunteer at KPFA, especially in the phone room, since we have 5 fundraisers a year. So I really expect to see all of you in that phone room answering phone calls from the donors that you all should be talking to constantly anyway. It's really easy. Just take a couple hours, maybe even an hour, maybe even 20 minutes out of your time. Come answer some phones and talk to the donors that are supporting this nonprofit that you are now running. So that would be great. Accomplishments for the first quarter for the development department. So a couple of grants that we received first supported the investigative reporting unit in the newsroom that's going to be dedicated to long-form stories for news and morning show programming. So we have hired somebody, Lucy Kang, to be our investigative reporter. So she is actually spending time outside of the station and getting audio and creating news stories that she can build on, and we can, I'm hoping all of you guys are familiar with long form storytelling and what that means. The grant also gave funding to the AMP program, the internship program that Antonio was just talking about. So that grant allowed him to hire staff to be able to train these new interns that are in the station now. Second accomplishment for the first quarter, Brian, David, and I have updated our donation practices, which you've heard a little bit about already, and created a faster and more efficient donation experience for pledge call-ins and web donations during the drive. We're still working out some of the kinks of the system, but it is definitely better than it was before, especially since we're not handwriting people's credit cards down on a piece of paper that then gets handed to several different people before it's ever destroyed. So this is great. This is definitely an improvement, and I think that the donors are definitely appreciating it and seeing the difference. It's a much smoother, it should never be a difficult task to donate to KPFA. So I think that is the goal. Lastly, we have established monthly giving and no longer support installment plans, which were an ineffective and inefficient fundraising model. So essentially, we used to support installment plans where people's donations would retroactively stop after a year. They would donate $100, have it spread out throughout the year, say $10 a month, and then the donation would end. For the most part, from what I've found, many people did not want these donations to stop, and in fact, they wanted to keep donating to the station monthly. So there was not a whole lot of pushback about stopping these installment plans, because essentially we were stopping people from donating to us, and we'd much rather keep them donating to the station monthly, and then if they want to stop, they can reach out to us, I'm sure. Many of you have something that you're donating to monthly, and it's just $5 or $10 a month, and it's not worth stopping because it's too much of a hassle. We want that. We want it to be too much of a hassle. Not that if somebody called and wanted to stop it, I would stop it, because they do that as well. So that is my report. I hope to see you all soon, especially in the phone room, and thank you so much for your time. Next up is our communications manager, Kara Teicholster.
Hi, everybody. Let me know if I need to be closer to the mic. My name is Vera Teicholster. I'm the communications manager. So a little about me. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. Very proud of that fact. I moved to the Bay Area after I completed undergrad studies at Oberlin College, so just made my way west. Oberlin's in Ohio. Previous to KPFA, I worked with the Freedom Archives, the International Media Project, and the Center for Research and Education on Gender and Sexuality. I originally came to KPFA through Kevin Cartwright, our program director. I met Kevin, and he was working on a radio documentary about Phil Elwood. You all may have heard it at some point. We've played it. And he invited me to collaborate, and after working together for a little while, I was introduced to KPFA and started working in the subscriptions department. So I was the membership coordinator for 3 years, I think, and am just recently starting this new position as communications manager, and excited to see what that means for me and for the station. The position came about because there was a real need, I think, a hunger, I would say, from our listeners and supporters for some communication from the station outside of fundraisers. Folks who love KPFA love KPFA and want to know about it and want to know what we're doing and want to know when there are changes happening and when there's exciting new programs and events, things like that. So we really wanted to establish a position that was dedicated to making sure those folks, our community, is communicated with. There was also, I think, a need internally among staff for a little bit more transparency about what was happening in terms of programming, in terms of other kind of institutional changes. So the hope is that this position is really going to address some of those needs. That being said, it is new. It's a work in progress. So here's what I got for you for now for the description of communications manager. The communications manager is responsible for planning and executing off-air communication with listeners and supporters regarding programming and institutional news. Do this via digital platforms of email, our website, kpfa.org, and social media. The communications manager also assists with internal communications, ensuring all staff are informed of station affairs. So my goal, currently my goals, are to maintain and build positive audience relationships with the station. I really want our audience to feel connected to KPFA outside of fundraisers through consistent and transparent communications. I'm going to do this again, really utilizing email, creating a consistently branded social media platform, and developing our website as a really robust source of news, culture, community information, making kpfa.org actually really hold a lot of valuable information that people can rely on. So I think I have a few kind of specific markers of growth that I'm looking for. I definitely want to make sure that we are growing our social media followers, our email signups, and our website interactions. Those are some numbers that we can really look at to make sure that the strategies we put out are effective. So I'll be checking those out. I also am working, my goal is to work across departments, so working with all these wonderful folks, as well as Kevin Cartwright, who's not with us right now, and just establish communication with the staff. I want to be making sure to send emails every time there's a notification of a program change, special programs, institutional updates. Just really make sure that we're all on the same page and that we're fully and transparently communicating with all of our staff. I think the accomplishment that I most want to touch on right now that I feel like is really kind of illustrative of the work that I'm trying to do is the communique, the KPFA communique, which has been going out once a month since I started. So I think we're about to send our third one out. And it's a monthly newsletter. And we were doing it a little bit before, but for a monthly newsletter, it didn't seem to quite make it out every month. So excitingly, we are sending out this newsletter every month, and it has a collection of highlights from the past month, exciting programs that we've done, events that have happened, and it also has things to look forward to, so we're kind of front promoting in a way that we don't always get a chance to do, making sure people know what's coming up, has a section for events, and it really, there's a lot of space for that to grow as well, section for us to perhaps promote our podcast work and other kinds of really exciting things that are happening at the station.
How would people sign up for that?
Sure, yeah, there's many ways to sign up for the newsletter, but definitely on our website, there's a space where you can sign up for the newsletter, and then you'll get it every month. And we're going to, you know, work on promoting that more for sure. We have, even since I've started, gotten a fair number of signups, and we've gotten some really good feedback from folks who are getting the newsletter, who are excited to hear what KPFA is up to. So I think that is all I need to share for now. I would present Kevin next, but he's not here, so I'll hand it back to Q. Thanks.
Okay, Kevin's not here. He's a single dad, and he had single dad duties for this weekend, so I will read what he prepared for you. Kevin Cartwright has been a radio producer, media trainer, and content creator and programmer for Pacifica Radio, KPFA, since 1994. After graduating from KPFA's apprenticeship program in 95, he was a three-time David Seltner Award recipient given by the apprenticeship program to the person exhibiting the most to the training program. He has produced and contributed to a number of local national public affairs programs that included Living Room with Larry Bensky, Democracy Now!, the KPFA Evening News, The Morning Show, and an assortment of arts, culture, and music specials. He's also contributed work at KQED, KLW, and KALX, and other pirate radio stations. Additionally, Kevin has been a communication strategist for 20 years. He continues to work with a number of local, state, and national social change organizations across the United States to help improve their overall communication and public relations strategies, framing, and messaging apparatus. Job description. The program director works closely with the general manager, department head, staff, and volunteers to initiate, develop, and implement a service of regular and special programming. The program director works with the development director for on-air fund drives and coordinates with department heads about other matters as requested. The program director maintains contact with the Pacifica National Program staff and the program directors of all Pacifica stations. PD key tasks, direct program planning and execution, develop new programming initiatives for on-air and online integration, coordinate program schedule, format, and continuity with department heads, staff, and volunteers, oversee the artistic, technical, and content quality of programming, analyze the audience and market data, supervise, evaluate, train, and coach programming staff and volunteers, oversee programming information and for publication. Goals: to better personalize our programming with everyday people by improving the overall quality and consistency of KPFA's programs and making programs available in every platform available, including social media platforms. To expand our mission and vision to expand our cultural imprint, to do more dynamic story form documentaries and specials, and to foreground our on-air and off-air music experience. And that's it. And that is our talented, hardworking group here. So I hope you enjoyed that.
Well, I'd like to say we really appreciate you taking the time to come here today.
I'm just going to wrap it up really quickly. I just got a couple more things to say.
Definitely, go for it.
I just want to quickly acknowledge our 70th birthday celebration and thank the board members, present and past, respectively, Carol Wolfley and Margie Wilkinson, who assisted in getting the Berkeley City Council to proclaim April 15th KPFA Day. Also on our birthday, we presented the first annual KPFA Vigilance Awards to Danny Glover, Alice Walker, Amy Goodman, Bob Baldock, Walter Turner, and Miguel Molina for their years of inspiring and igniting our listeners. In closing, I would like to mention a rather urgent matter that is in Pacifica's interest. It's a priority for KPFA and all of our sister stations right now, and is to do all we can do to support Pacifica's application for grant money from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting. This involves reaching CPB compliance with all necessary documentation from our community advisory board and the other community advisory boards, and the completion of all the financial audits. And that is the end.
All right. Thank you so much. Questions? Lily?
Yes, as a new board member, I really appreciate the staff taking the time out to not only prepare these excellent materials and your excellent presentation, but also to take time out on a beautiful Saturday afternoon coming here and educating the board. As a new board member, I found it invaluable. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Susan?
There was a lot that was exciting that I heard. I'm just really glad about the remote broadcasts and helping volunteer programmers feel supported. That's just really great. And thank you for reminding me that I should go to the phone room once in a while. It's been a long time. But I think the thing that I'm most happy about is when I hear about a new database for the donors. We really need it. I mean, in this last election, I actually knew 5 people who had to prove that they had actually contributed in order to then get a ballot, and then that makes me wonder how many people didn't vote who could have. So I really appreciate it, and thanks for all the good work that all of you are doing.
Thank you. Bill?
Yeah. Okay. I want to second what the other board members said about you all coming here today and sharing with us what you do and what your goals are. It was very interesting to hear all of that. It was very educational for me in particular. But one question I have is, and it's similar to Susan's, and was raised by the National Election Supervisor, was the problem with the membership list and verifying the voting, who was eligible to vote, and whether or not they were, when they voted, if they actually could vote. And I was wondering what we're doing about our membership list and how we're going to solve the problem of the membership list.
Hi. Okay. So the membership list. So the short answer is that a new donor database is going to greatly alleviate this problem, hopefully by the time another election comes through. Of course, there is another election right now, but I think we have a handle on it. By the time the next election comes through, then it should be completely solved. This was partially, there was a small hurricane of circumstances that happened where I had just come back after a couple of years. The donor database manager left, and he left with...
With
little to no guidance on how to really to work this donor database that essentially doesn't exist anywhere, so that there's no tech support, I can't Google a question, there's no forums about this donor database because nobody uses it anymore. So I think that's...
So what's going to be our new donor database? Is that Salesforce?
No. So that's part of the admin site that Brian David, I don't know if you came in late. So Brian David is creating a new admin site that is going to hold all of our donor database. And basically it's a CRM. So it's going to hold all of that data, and we're designing it as we want it to be. So there should be no problems. A CRM is a customer relations model, but essentially it's that's used sort of through sales and through nonprofit work to say a donor database. I might as well just stay standing.
I have a question for Quincy and Brooke. And I also want to thank everybody for coming. So you mentioned, Quincy, that you would like to see some people on the local station board help with phone fundraising. And I think one of the things that would really help us is to build connections so that we can really talk about, you know, you can let us know what you need and what you're envisioning, and we can figure out how to support that if it's going to be with an event. And I'm imagining Vera would be involved because, you know, we want to get the word out, and how do we do that? And, you know, everybody's going to be involved, really. So can you give us a little idea? And I'd like to send around a yellow pad for people to sign up if they would like to work with fundraising. And if you could give us a little idea about moving beyond just working in the phone room, if you have other ideas.
Sure. So I really recommend, I think Darlene will be talking a little bit about this later. There are workshops that you can sign up for as a board member, figuring out ways of creating new fundraising strategies for the nonprofit that you're working for. I know that Katie, our membership coordinator, who I mentioned before, previously she worked on the campaign for Kat Brooks. And they were very successful in throwing house parties with people. So you would essentially invite a certain group of people to your house who you think may want to support KPFA. That is a model that's done. I can write some fundraising strategies up for you guys if that would be helpful, and send it to you. Does that sort of help, Carol? I mean, there's a lot to That's a big question, so I don't want to go on too long about different ideas.
I'm imagining that if we can get some people who would like to work on this, we could have a meeting with you sometime and brainstorm together at the station.
No, I would definitely love to have the help of the board. It's going to be a very long road if I'm doing it alone. So.
Yeah, you aren't.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Steve was next.
Well, first of all, I want to thank all the staff for coming here. I think we have to recognize it's the labor of the staff who help make KPFA a viable institution. So thanks for showing up today. I think that there's some very good developments, and one of the things is the recent May Day Pacifica broadcast, and I want to thank the apprentices here for making that possible. You know, that was a very important action. And it got a lot of support of unions who participated in May Day. And I think in looking at how we can expand our financial support, that might be a vehicle to raise support in the labor movement, that we are providing a service for them on May Day that is very important. And they're not getting anyplace else. Their voices, the voices of working people, immigrants, all kinds of working people. And that's something that I think is being discussed nationally as far as replicating on Indigenous Day, other events, Women's Day, having Pacifica programming nationally where we feed in programming from around the country, different programmers. So I think that's something we should look at as a possibility of expansion and expanding our listenership and our audience. Also, I wanted to talk about there was an action yesterday, World Free Press Day, for Julian Assange and Chelsea Manning, and that was broadcast live. And again, journalists are under attack, and that's a concern I have, that it won't just be Assange and Chelsea Manning. There are other journalists who are going to be coming under vicious assault. And I think our station and our network needs to look at how we can make this issue of free speech, journalist rights, an important issue nationally. Those are some points. I do think that developing a multimedia platform is important in advancing KPFA and Pacifica, and we should look into how we can take advantage of that. And a lot of young people want to use multimedia streaming to build an audience, and I think we can connect with that, we can interact with that, and help really build our audience. So. Anyway, that's something that I think is important and something we should look forward to. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Frank was next.
No, go ahead, Frank.
Frank?
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you, staff, Brian, everyone, for being available today. And I just had a few comments and questions. One, that screen in the lobby is pretty cool. I like it, being able to see stuff. It'd be great to get a screen in the conference room and some monitors for classes. So, all right. Yesterday I ordered one for the conference room. All right, so Brian said yesterday he ordered one for conference room. Awesome. Woo, yeah, oh, and on air. All right, that's great. And Hindenburg training, I think we're all looking forward to that. If you could announce it again a couple of times. I don't know if everybody's on board and when it is. I did have one criticism about a recent email that went out. It was kind of sad to see when the email went out about the special broadcast that happened, the May Day was left out. So I was really excited about the support, getting it up on the page. Thank you, Quincy and Vera, for all your help working with our social media team. You know, we're growing. We've been doing this for a while, and we're really looking forward to and we really got it down now, and we got a lot of critiques of ourselves. We're going to have our next meeting. So that was a little let down to see that all the special broadcasts were listed that week.
I think you just missed a deadline. I think that's all it was on that one.
All right. Well, we were in the works for a couple months now, so I know our idea was out there. But anyways, I did appreciate the support that we did getting up there on the page. And we're going to have a breakdown of our numbers, our social media stuff from Nikki and Kat, who really did a tremendous job, and John, Steve, everybody. So thank you all for that. Another thing that would be cool is a $25 gift. I don't know if that's possible, but when we did, the apprentices had a gift that was $25. It was a digital download. We did almost 40 callers just for the $25 gift. I think we made like almost nearly $900 just on $25 donations, and that was pretty good for us. We don't usually get 30 or 40 calls on our site. That was the Vilma Ortiz brought it, and we offered it for $25. It was the communication one. It was about when Vilma Ortiz was a apprentice. It was the non-violent communication, but it was one of those communication sets. It was a digital download. All we had to do was send an email to the woman who did it. It was a woman's, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was $25. It was just an email, and they got a digital download, and we did almost 40 calls during Full Circle, which is good for us. We get like 10 or 15. So I feel like it'd be a great idea. We've asked a couple times for like a $25 gift. That'd be awesome. I know like mugs are probably hard to ship. That might not be, you know, feasible, but I think something for 25 bucks, which is the membership fee besides the, just the right to vote, would be great. Let's see. I feel like this thing we're doing with the LSB is awesome. And I know you've heard it before, Quincy, and some of you probably heard it before, but like a staff meeting like this would be great for the staff. I think, I mean, we're all lucky here to get to hear all this, but some of the staff probably interested in that, especially we all know there was concern over some of the cancellations that happened with TwitWit. There was, you know, some listener concerns and some staff concerns. So I think who's the communications, Vera? So I was curious if you'd be part of those conversations with staff when shows like TwitWit get canceled. I don't know how transparent that was within the station and stuff, because a lot of people were kind of shocked by it. And, you know, as non-paid or unpaid staff people, it's a little, it's not as easy to have the grievance process as the union has when they have a structured process that is followed. So that would be cool. This was really cool for us. I'd like to see this for the staff. I know you have your thing about staff meetings, but we got a lot of information today from you guys, and I think that's great. So that was my staff meeting. Antonio, it'd be cool. Where you at? If we partner with some apprentices, we do some remote broadcasts. That's what we're really getting it down now. Oh, that's my time? Okay, so it'd be great. And we look forward to doing some more remote broadcasts. Thank you. Thank you guys for coming today. It was cool.
And Richard was next.
First of all, thank you all for coming and for doing all your work. And I've met with a few of you and over the years. Special thank you to Antonio and Brian for setting up the automated studio system. This has changed my life. I don't have to come to KPFA except occasionally now. I upload all of my radio shows. Setting up studio reservations when you're dealing with publicists has changed. It's so easy now. And so, really, people don't understand how this has changed all of our lives for the better. So I want to thank everyone there. A couple of quick questions. First of all, Vera, are you now in charge of Twitter and Facebook and all of that stuff and the front page of the website? That's your baby now. Okay. And people can just email you? Okay. Finally, one question I have for Quincy here. It's now April. Every year we have flooding underneath the... huh? It's fixed. It's all fixed now. So this will not happen again. We didn't know that. This is fantastic. Can you make some comment about
that? You're very strange, Richard. Well, I do want to thank Carol Wolfley and Tom Voorhees. We were like putting our heads together. I hated that flooding. It was just the bane of my existence every winter. I told Javier, who's our maintenance guy, do not peel away the sheetrock because I think there's mold behind it. And he did it anyway and found out there wasn't any mold.
Oh, sorry, that's something else, sorry.
There wasn't any mold, but we found that the people who built the building had these little pipes or little conduits for electrical. Oh, no. No, it's anyway, these little electrical things for conduits. And at the bottom of these conduits were all these big cracks. And that's where the water was seeping up. So all we did was, like, smush the cement stuff in there and painted it with cement paint, and it stopped. Yeah. So anyway, that's where the flooding. Now, it still floods in the troughs, in the electrical troughs. And, yeah, that part I don't know. But, yeah, working on it. But yeah.
Thank you, Maria. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it is Strawberry Creek. You're right.
Okay. And Darlene was next.
I'm really interested in what happened on April 15th, the fund drive. I was in the phone room early in the day, and I never did hear what where we came out at the end as best we can manage that. And I know there are reasons for not telling people how much we actually did were able to raise, but could you tell the board?
Sure. What were the reasons why not to tell people?
Maria, actually, Maria's going to do a brief
okay.
financial.
It's okay. I don't.
Okay.
If you miss the mark, it's not news you brag about.
Did we have a? Oh, I guess we. Yeah, we kind of had a goal. So April 15th is. A day for celebration of KPFA. It's celebrating our anniversary. We turned 70 years. It was to celebrate the station, not primarily to raise money. The goal of that day was to encourage people to support the station, but to mostly create a really, really great day on the air. And I think that's what we did. I think it was incredibly successful. I think Kevin worked very, very hard to get all of that material together. With that said, I don't think I have a total yet for that day, partially because we got so many checks in the mail, and many of them have just started coming in to us to actually log into our system. Yeah. I think the last number, what was the last number we had? So all of you should also have access to something called the Pledge Report. Does anybody know what that is? Okay. It's real good. So during our fundraisers, we're now able to watch donations coming in during real time and on a website that then allows us to just see the goal of the day, how much we've raised so far, and how much more we have to go. So the total for... That's what I'm doing right now. Sorry to keep you all in suspense. I'm waiting for this page to load. So the total for that day was $45,289.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. So I think so the total, what we were hoping for was 70. So we're about 20 grand off. I'd say, you know, we're probably within 10,000 of that goal.
It's my fault. It's my fault. I kept saying, I said, we have to go on and say 70. We knew it's impossible, but how do you go on and say, it's our birthday, we're 70 years old, we only want 20 grand, thank you. No, we had to do the 70 thing. They were all telling me, no, we're going to, you know. But I said, no, it's going to be 70. So that's why.
Good reason.
And it all turned out fine. I mean, we actually raised far more than we had raised before. The year before. We had a very strong narrative this time, but it was incredibly. It was a great day. It was an awesome, awesome day. So thank you for asking about it. Thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure you understand. I'm asking so we could rejoice. And
I used
the term miss the mark, I was talking about language I had heard in the station over the years about why sometimes there wasn't a final number ever really announced. Oh, so
partially to do with the fact that our past fundraising has been hampered by this donor database, which we're now getting rid of. So when we've been able to really come up with a number, it is because that donor database does not allow us to keep records the way we need to track donors and donations the way we need to. So.
And I just want to say, I was in the phone room early on. It was great to ask for 70,000 because we got any number of $70 gifts for the station. So please don't think I was asking in any kind of critical way.
No, because we were running those promos too, saying 70 for 70, trying to get people to just donate $70 and stuff. It was just a synergy of the whole thing that we were, you know, it was a good narrative for us. But I just want to say that that day inside the radio station was a fantastic day. I mean, people were there. We had good fun. There was a lot of fun going on. Alice Walker showed up and all these different people. It was great. And, you know, I got to give those awards to Bob and Walter and Miguel Molina. It was great. It was just a good vibe day around the radio station, and everybody was having a good time. And the programming was from the archives, and we pulled some of the best stuff KPFA ever done over the last 70 years, and it was pretty good, I thought. So it was a good day.
Thank you, Quincy. I just want to clarify that we don't talk about program cancellations or personnel issues here unless it's in closed session. It was pointed out to me. So, and there's good reasons for that, because there are a spectrum of elements that could contribute to programs being changed or moved around, and we do that in closed session, just to clarify. And we had James is next.
Hi, I'm James McFadden. I'm new to the board, and I want to first say I appreciate hearing from all of you to get I have a lot of getting up to speed to understand you guys' job so that I can know what I need to do. And especially hearing a lot about your responsibility stuff was very, very helpful. Because I'm new, I don't know what kind of information flows back and forth, and I think this kind of information flowing from you guys to us is very helpful. And I'm wondering if there's a kind of continuous of that. If, like, do we get a once-a-month sort of letter that kind of summarizes the key things that are going on so that we kind of have a better sense, because we're not in the studio, we're not down there with you guys, so we understand what you guys are up against or what's going on.
But most of the time it comes through the general manager's report. That's the update you get. Even though our new executive director wants us to meet quarterly with boards now, because on a monthly basis there's not that much to report, but in a quarter, you know, we can actually have some financial numbers and things like that to report. So it'll be a better, more detailed report for you, so you can have more information and things to work off of to see where the station's going or the ideas we have or where we're trying to reach, that kind of thing. So. But there's the communique, so sign up for that so you can, you know, stay on top of what's happening that way.
Thank you. Donald was next.
Hi. So one of the things that Quincy mentioned was the CPV and possibly getting those monies back throughout the network. And I want to say that Carol Wolfley and myself and some people on the PNB are very seriously hard at work to make sure that every station has a community advisory board up and running, and a couple of them actually don't, while we are simultaneously trying to get the audits done, which is one of the prerequisites to get the CPB money back. So there's a contradiction there. So we're pressing this very urgently to get every other station, CAB, up and running, and they're noticed on the calendar like we are. So if anybody here on this board knows people at the other LSBs, call them and light a fire under them. Well, the last meeting of the CAB at BAI was in 2018. I believe KPFT doesn't have a functioning CAB. So it's PFW? I'm just trying to remember.
Please use the microphone.
WBAI met last in December 2018. WPFW last met in September. So WPFW is the one that really needs support. And KPFK had not met for 2 years, and they are getting started right now.
Okay, so thank you, Carol. So that's a priority.
And Bill?
I've heard, I've been on the board for a while, and I've heard people say, well, board members have to help with fundraising, and that just goes in one ear and out the other. I mean, the last thing in the world I want to do is ask somebody for money, really. But hang on a second. Here's my proposal. So what I would need to even consider doing this is to go to a meeting with you and any of your staff and have you explain to me, pitch it to me, explain to me, what am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to contact? What am I supposed to say? In other words, I need to be educated to do something I've never done in my life and don't think I would like to do. But if someone told me how to do it or explained to me how to do it, maybe I would be interested in doing it. So I think that, working with our president of our board, you should set up a meeting where we can have this meeting and you can explain to us what we would have to do this, because otherwise I don't know.
Excuse me, I have to say just point of information. I don't know if you were here or not, but Brooke told us all about the fact that she was going to communicate and have meetings and explain that process to us. So she put that out there.
Well, I wasn't here. Sorry, I missed that.
Okay.
And then
you need to sign up on the sheet.
I didn't sign up on the sheet because I didn't know what I was signing up for.
It would
exactly
be for
that's
fundraising.
Okay.
Thank you.
But now that I know that it would be for something like that, then I will sign up. But that's what I need. That's what I need to have.
I understand totally, Bill, because I've done this with the when I was at MoCA, the Children's Museum. I had a board that, really, that's what those boards are for, fundraising. And there were a lot of people on that. There were 15 people on that board. 9 of them were new and knew nothing about fundraising and were terrified to ask their friends, family, or anybody for any money. So we had these kind of sessions where we would do it. We played videos. We, we did mock interviews, and we did the whole 9 yards. And a lot of people learned, and a lot of people, we were able to start, scoring some money. So it worked out well. And I just wanted to bump back to what Brooke had said about parties and things like that. That's basically the way we always start out. You invite 10 of your best friends. They come to your house. I come in. I give a pitch about KPFA. And what I'm really looking for in that meeting is the next person in the room who wants to throw another party of 10. So that's how it goes for us. You just keep doing that. And then at that party, I'm looking for the next person who wants to throw the next party of 10. And so things start growing, and you keep meeting more and more, and you're building a network.
So. Thank you, Quincy. Susan was next.
Yeah, that goes right into the comment I was going to make. I didn't sign them as it came around, because the other thing we're going to do later today is various PMB committees and task forces. And I've been on this board in a long, long time ago, and I would get too many committees, and I'd be, so busy. So maybe we should revisit this fundraising committee after we've all signed up or been elected to the various committees and task forces, because I'd like to do it, but I don't want to be on 4 different things.
So just clarification, it's not a committee, actually. It's just people volunteering to. It's not that formalized, just to clarify. And we think Daniel was next.
Hello. I guess it's on. Yes. I'd like to also like to thank you, staff people, for being here today. I'm glad to meet you, glad to see you. I have several questions. The first you've already answered. I wanted a copy of these reports, and thank you for that. A couple other things. The grants, the CPB grant, I believe in ancient times we used to get it. We have not, think we've not gotten it for several years now, and I think that's about $1 million a year, if I'm right. No? Anyway, whatever it is, I'd certainly like to get it. I'm looking forward to get it. Several of you mentioned grants. I don't know if that was the only grant you're talking about, but there may be other grants. Where, who would they come from? I'd like to know that. That's one of my questions.
Specifically, who's giving us grants?
Yes. Where would they come from? Foundations, or are you just referring to the CPB grant?
No, the CPB grant is the that's a government grant. That's a federal grant.
Right.
So I'm going to be going after grants that are from foundations, that are from family foundations, that are from organizations, mm-hmm. maybe even corporations. honestly, I mean, I'm not going to turn away money. So, and it's not going to affect our programming. So if somebody wants to give me a grant, then I'm more than happy to take it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. The other question I wanted to ask was about, there are several programs that have gone off the air, Twit Radio, Discreet Music, Counterspin, and...
Excuse me, although we really don't talk about the programming and going off the air. I was trying to say that. That's in our agreements here. That would be something we would do in closed session because that involves personnel decisions and decisions that affect people proprietary. Yeah. So,
well, what I'd like to say is that a lot of listeners have been asking me about this when I said I was running for the board. Not one, not two, not 10 of them. Many of them asked me about what happened, what's happening to these programs. And I would like to find out about that.
Thank you.
Okay.
That is something that can be done in a closed session, or you can talk with...
So one of the ways that I got the staff to come was when I told them that they would be getting out of here right quickly. So I just want to... honor that so I can get them to come back again.
I have two more people on the stack, and then I think we have a lot of other business to do here, so we'll cut it off there. So I have Chris Corey, and then I have Steve.
Tom would like to be on the stack also.
Oh, Tom's on the stack too. So I just I wanted a point of clarification from either Don or Carol. How often are the CABs supposed to meet in order to be compliant with the CPB? Do you know? Yes. Is it quarterly?
That will be on the agenda, actually.
It is? Okay.
We're going to go into more detail about the CABs because that's a really important thing for this meeting to discuss because of the funding that we're trying to get back. So I guess, Steve, you've already spoken, so we're going to let Tom speak because Tom was on. Did Tom want to speak?
Yes.
Go ahead, Tom.
I just wanted to add something to the flooding problem that I don't remember who gave a report on the flooding, but the underfloor cable vaults are still flooding when it rains, and we're going to have to pay some attention to that before we do the digital upgrade, which entails digging some evacuation wells in the rear of the building. So that's something we're going to want to approach before we try to do the digital conversion. That's if we're going to try to use the underfloor audio conduits for the digital upgrade, and that's all I had to say.
Tom, I just wanted to let you know that you should check in with Brian because those boys had been in there this week rewiring the troughs and stuff, so there is some activity already going on in that direction you're talking about.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Quincy, for coming. I think we're just going to let him go. I think we really have to move on. Tom is still talking?
my situation here at the moment, I will get coordinated with Brian. Also, we have been, Brian and myself have been endeavoring to pull together the Monterey translator site.
All of you. Tom, are you done?
Yes, I am done.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate your speaking to us. I know it was difficult, but we're glad you're there. Thank you. Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the Zoom for us. Thank you, Frank. Well, you know, it's a learning process, right? Oh, thank you. Let the record show that Shira Dedman has joined in.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the, pardon me? Okay, really quick piggyback finance statement on to do with the general's report.
It's so short because there isn't much to say right now. Part of the problem, hey, out of the room. part of the problem that I have had is the database not working properly and stuff. I used to be able to get reports and be able to go right into the books and all that kind of stuff. So the donor database. It's computerized. It was, as Brooke had alluded to, it's old, and I just wanted to make sure that you guys all understood when she said it hadn't been updated, not that the information hasn't been updated, it's that the software hadn't been updated, and it's created a bunch of problems and so on and so forth. It's I've been here 10 years, and every time I try to run a report, I mess it up. It's awful. It is not user-friendly. Anyway, but I worked very closely with Chris. Chris is gone. Therefore, I'm having problems. We're inputting all of 2018 and up through what to date based on the reports I can get. So that's been slow going, but it's getting there. I wanted to let you guys know that the audit is the 2017 audit. I have two things to give them, which is just copies of leases, and that's it. And then 2018 is going to get started, I believe, on the, well, Monday is basically the date that we have to get started on that. So, and when it comes to the CPB reporting, just so everybody who's new knows, and others can speak to this more, but there is so much more than just audits that need to happen for the CPB. This, the CAB, the sending of the premiums, make sure everything, there's a lot of little things that I don't even know about. I'm sorry. The listenership, that's right, listenership. That's why LA actually lost their funding because of that. And unfortunately, no, the funding is not $1 million per station. When I first came on, it was like $250. And that was 10 years ago, and now it's like one. Well, the last time we got it was like 125. So it's for Pacific, I guess could be you know, but yeah, a thousand, yes. And there's, like I said, so many different things, and I wish I could say that we're going to get back funding, but I doubt it. It's you know, soon as we could go forward. And but again, all the dots, all the I's need to be dotted, the T's need to be crossed. There's a lot that goes on with that, and that's why I am happy that NEDA is around. NEDA is an organization that handles nonprofit media. So, and they do the accounting, they're doing the payroll, they're doing the HR. It's just a welcome relief for me, because and I have, you know, somebody who I could go to. I mean, I've been doing accounting for 35 years, but you always have to, you know, want to have somebody to go to. And I really haven't had that for a while. So, I guess that's about it. So, you know, we pay our bills, we have money, we pay our employees, we've been improving the building, so that's my finance report, is we're doing okay.
Okay, Bill and then Sharon.
So when do you anticipate the 2017 audit will be completed? When do you anticipate we'll have it?
I couldn't tell you exactly because the auditors now have to go through everything. They are going through everything, but I would say probably in the next few weeks.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get that off to the Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Can we ask a question? I mean, I know that we'll have the opportunity to comments later on.
No, it has to be the board right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I will say something to the new board members and Max. You all know my door is open. I will tell you anything I can tell you. I will show you anything I can show you. I'm, you know, pretty open when I can be, depending on the confidentiality of it all.
Yes, you've always been open since I've been around. So thank you, Maria. We have Sharon.
Kind of just to follow up on what Bill said, I guess my question is, you know, just in terms of the PPC, I'm trying to like time myself and talk at the same time. Okay, in terms of the CPB funding, do we have to have the 2018 audit complete to qualify for that?
I believe so. I'm not.
So we would have to have the 2018 start and finish by June to qualify for that. Mm-hmm. You don't know? Okay,
no,
I just was curious. Okay.
Yeah.
That is precisely the goal. The 2017 audit should be ready in the next 2 weeks, and the 2018 audit should be ready soon thereafter. That's the updated information I have from the PNB and what we're getting from NEDA and the auditors.
That's very good news. Thank you.
So anyway, the other thing too about NEDA is they want financial statements. Not like next month or anything, but our goal is to get financial statements done by like the middle of the month for the previous month. I'm trying to push them back. I prefer 10 working days. They're saying 10 calendar days for us to finish. I'm like, well, if it falls right, you end up with 2 weekends. But I work weekends anyway, so. but anyway, so that's about it. My door is open. Oh, yeah.
Yes, Andrea, you want to?
So what's the application deadline? You said that the two audits would be done, but when would we make an application to CPB? Is it June or September? It is by June to make the CPB application.
Yes, there's a June deadline, but my understanding is, if I got it right, they might be able to apply later. Someone come in a little bit later and get some funds. Obviously, it would not be full funding. And as Maria was alluding to earlier, it does not mean we're going to get $1 million again for the network. So we easily.
No, I realize.
Okay. And the new members may not understand that, mm-hmm. that this is not an automatic, that in part it depends on what your listenership, the actual number of people who listen and are members of each station. So the amount of money each station would get would be dependent on it, and a couple would get nothing under the CPB rules. So this is not a panacea on this level, but I just want to add one more point. The reason why I personally think this is a very important goal to accomplish is because if and when CPB decides to start giving us some money, it sends a signal out to the bigger donor world and the bigger world in general, that Pacific is now stable.
Yes.
And has legitimacy.
That's where I was going.
And that is the strategic objective of this work.
Thank you. Chris? Corey?
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry. CPB has a couple of different portions. One's a survey that I've completed that has happened every year. And we got a reminder, hello, fiscal year 2018 fiscal report, financial reports are 15 days past due. That means the audit hasn't been done, and Pacifica has been the one to do those. So part of the CPB reporting has been done. It's the financial reporting that has yet to be done.
Thank you. Chris wanted to add something.
Yeah, thanks. So in addition to it helping us get recognition as being more up-to-date with our books, being up-to-date with the books has a whole bunch of other benefits, obviously, namely that we can look back through our financials, discover where we actually are at this point in time, and plan for the future. And so that's been – we've been hamstrung for years now and with a lack of vision about where our actual financial standing is, which has prevented us from planning for the future and knowing what we have to do in order to make ends meet. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Thank you, Chris.
And one last final note is that with grants, whoever was asking about grants, there's different kinds of grants. San Francisco Foundation, they want to see audits and stuff. They're a bigger organization. Small family grants, they just love us so much they want to give us money. So the audits will help us with, you know, for Brooke to be able to apply for other stuff. And I'm out of here.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you, Maria. Thanks for coming. And we're moving right along, not really super fast here, but public comments. So we have, I believe Aunt B left. Is that, was Aunt B? I know, Matt. She left? Okay. Yeah. And, okay, so Max, you're up. Would someone give Max a mic, please?
I would just go over to that one because it doesn't have a long cord.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, to see all of you after the elections. That's very good, very positive. Good people there, okay? And I'm an old-timer here. I think my first interview with KPFA was in 86 with Mama O'Shea. I always remember her. She was a very elegant lady, very articulate, very smart, and very well listened to. And I remember going up to the old station. We had to go up the stairs. I was always, well, what should I say? It was quite a sight. Somebody told me jokingly that they sort of expected bats come out of the roof or whatever. But it's a good thing that we moved to the new facilities. Wonderful. And that's good. Now, I come frequently to the fundraiser. A new one is coming next week. I'll be there for hours every day, okay? Maybe at least a couple of hours. Early in the morning when I find parking. Parking is challenging around there. The traffic at, what, MLK, is that the street?
Yeah.
It has become a major thoroughfare between Oakland and El Cerrito. Mm-hmm. It has gone up, and parking is harder. But I'm always delighted to come for the fundraiser because I meet my old friends, I meet staff people. You have new blood at the station. That's good. Positive blood. That's wonderful. Okay? Very good. I'm very happy with that. I have some concerns, some positive, some negative. I am very happy with the computerized system you have installed to collect the information. And I understand that that goes into accounting directly. Yeah. I think this is a system that should be adopted nationwide at all five stations. And you talk about audits that will help the auditing, it seems to me. The whole thing should be computerized. And talking about audits, I will be honest with you. I'm distressed by the fact that we have a time limit.
Yeah,
we do. I'm distressed by the fact that we got that letter from Kamala Harris when she was the attorney for the state. It was not a very pleasant letter. It's a letter that threatened us. I'll be honest about it. I still have in my files.
Okay, thank you. I think we'll
I'll stop here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your concerns, Zoe. Yes. I really appreciate it. Yes. Thank you for your volunteering.
Yes.
We appreciate
it. It's a pleasure to be with friends.
Thank you. Yeah. Same here. Thank you, Matt.
I served for 15 years ago.
Yes. So we're going to try to move fairly quickly. We have announcements is next. Does anyone have any announcements to make? Is Okay. Well, I'm seeing no announcements. Let's move on to the approval of the minutes from the last meeting, from the April LSB meeting. Have people have an opportunity to read the minutes. Hold on, Carol.
I move that we approve the March 30th minutes.
It's been seconded, so it's on the floor. Any discussion? All those in favor of approving the... Yes, Steve?
Yeah, this is Steve Zeltzer. I wasn't here, I was out of the country at the last meeting, and therefore I really kind of missed the discussion, but it was a little disturbing to me that the board meetings have been put off to every other month. I think when people are elected to the board, they should let the members know what they want, and having regular board meetings is important. There are a lot of things that go on every month, a lot of changes, a lot of activity, a lot of attacks on labor, on media, and on invasion of Venezuela. There are a lot of issues. And frankly, I think that the board needs to actually meet on a regular monthly basis. At least if some people can't make it, then, you know, they can do it by phone. But I do think the listeners should be, and the supporters of KPFA should be able to hear.
Okay, we're actually approving the minutes or not approving the minutes right now. That is not on the table. The meetings were unanimously approved, and the intent that was discussed at the time of the meeting, and I know you were online, I believe, because you attended by Zoom or something, is that we want to focus on the issues that are really important by the task forces, and I know you're on one of the task forces and on the committees to do some deep dives on information and focus on fundraising and some really important information. So when we come to the meetings, we bring a depth of information to our other members. So there is no malintent there. I did see an email come across talking about factional reasons for behind this. Just so you know who's who in the room, I'm not in the same faction as Carol. My position here is, no, wait, let me finish, please. My position here is I don't care what faction anybody's in. I think it's really important and to work together. And so that is the intent of what we came up with, and it was unanimously agreed upon. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I wasn't referring to any faction. I'm not a member of any faction.
I just referred to an email, but thank you very much. So let's move on. So all those in favor of approving the minutes from the last meeting? Just the minutes, just approving the minutes being accurate. All those opposed? And anybody any abstentions? One abstention? Right. Thank you. And now we'll move on to the Community Advisory Board report. A report now. Carol's going to do that, and the compliance. And I would like to take personal privilege for just a moment here to say that, to me, the cab issue is really important.
I just wanted to note that Shira said she's in favor, so there's one more.
Oh, one more in favor. Thank you, Shira. Can't see your pretty face, but we know you're out there somewhere. Thank you. Well, I'm glad she's here as our youngest person on the board.
A point of procedure.
Yes, go ahead.
Can we move the PMB director's report before the nomination and election of KPFA LSB members to the committees?
I think the CAB report's going to be pretty quick this time because Carol Wolfley's going to do it. Does that make it easier?
Right. I want to move the PMB director's report before the nomination and election of the KPFA LSB members to the committees.
Is that in the form of a motion?
Can we just do this and then talk about
that? I just want to switch 8 and 9.
I got it. Could we, Carol just asked, could we do the 7 and then go to 9? Is that what you're saying, Carol?
I'm just saying, can we do 7 and then decide?
Is that okay, Sabrina? Okay, thank you. Okay, let's just move on. We'll try to go quick. I know everybody's tired. Yeah. So what I was starting to say is I think we're in a profoundly important moment in our nation's history for the progressive community in particular. I think that for us to be able to work together is critical right now, the progressive community, because we know that the right wing is working together very well and very adeptly. So I don't care who anybody what faction is in. I believe that at the core, we're all here because we're here to do service in the community. And I think that the most important core issues we agree on, and that's what we have to remember, I think. And I appreciate everyone that's here. And I think our differences actually make us stronger, as long as we can discuss them civilly and build on them together. So I think non-corporate sponsored radio is critical to everything right now, indeed. And the task forces and the CAB and stuff like that, those are really critical issues, and the CAB in particular, because if we want to be able to apply for CPB funding, we have to have functional CABs at all the stations. So I just wanted to say that this is very important for all of us to get this CAB up and running and for people to really help with it. And I'll hand it over to Carol now.
So the KPFA Community Advisory Board has worked very hard to meet and to do their minutes and to post their meetings. One of the most important things that the CPB investigators do is to see, are our meetings posted appropriately, and are they held regularly? And the KPFA CAB is in compliance with both of those. Right now, there are the one area that we're not in compliance, and I'd like us to help get in compliance is by June. Andrea asked, is to have a full community advisory board. Right now, they are down to like two or three people, and they need more to have a board. They need to have at least four. So I have some proposals, some nominations for three people who I would like to recommend that the local station board approve for membership on the CAB. The first is Maria Judas. Maria is a social media expert, filmmaker. She has great media skills, and she is a person of color living in San Francisco. And Don knows Maria, and you may want to say something more about her. Don.
Thank you. I've really had the pleasure of working with Maria for the last 6 years on two of my films. She's an amazing woman, born and raised in San Francisco, and is just so media savvy on all the platforms, whether it's social media. She's a documentary filmmaker like myself, and she would be a huge asset for the Community Advisory Board and this station, and likely the network as well.
Thank you. The next person I want to propose is Rich Withers. Do we want to vote on people separately, or do we want to vote as a whole?
I think as a whole, unless
is okay. Well, let me say them all. Okay, so Rich Withers is the next one, who is the general manager for KFCF in Fresno, which is our part of our affiliated station. Associate station. And one of the things that I think is really important of what Rich has done is he has really built bridges with colleges and community colleges and Merced and clinics and theater groups in his area, and is great with outreach and building community ties too. And so he would be another person that would help us not only bring a lot of skills, but have a real clear outreach into the Fresno area. And the third person is Carol Travis. Carol has done amazing prison work for many years, Soledad and other prisons, and worked with other people in the Pacifica community nationally. And she lives in the Walnut Creek area and is interested in doing KPFA outreach work, and has amazing skills with fundraising, which we really need right now. And she is one of the few people who really would help us to be able to evaluate the policies. She did a lot of work on straightening out the work with the pensions and helping us get the audits done. So, so I would make a motion that the KPFA local station board approve the adding of Maria Judas, Rich Withers, and Carol Travis to the KPFA Community Advisory Board.
Do I have a second? Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hands. And does Tom?
And Tom didn't say nothing unless he's speaking up. Tom, but I see Shira says in favor.
Okay. Shira's in favor. All those opposed? Abstentions? One abstention? Okay. Oh, yes, a new issue? Okay.
I would like to request, as Sabrina did earlier, that we move item 9, PMB report, up before we do these elections, which might take a little while.
There's a motion, so do I have a second on that?
Second.
All in favor? And I think... And Shira and Tom? Any opposed?
And we move item 9 on the agenda, which is a report from PNB directors, up to doing it now before we do the elections to all of the PNB committees.
Can you ask Tom to use his chat?
Tom, could you use your chat? The social media.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, by acclamation, then we have accepted all of the new CAB members. Thank you very much. And it's been requested that we have a quick break here for, what do you think, 10 minutes or something for the board? I mean, well, what's the body's desire? What would you like? People speak
point
up.
Point of procedure, Madam Chair.
Yes.
The PMB report is going to take all of 2.5 minutes. If we could just do that and then go to break, that would be great. It would be a lot
more
efficient.
That's fine with me.
Appreciate it.
Okay. PMB report, I guess. Go ahead.
Okay, since I have a mic in my hand, I'll start. Most exciting and important news is Sabrina Jacobs is now the vice chair of the Pacifica National Foundation. the chair of the PNB is Grace Aaron from KPFK in Los Angeles. Sabrina is the vice chair. Bill Crozier from KPFT is the secretary. And I'm forgetting who was elected treasurer. Help me out here, Bill. There is no treasurer? Oh, good. Good. Fine. So really, we've just met once to formally elect people and to say hi to one another. You've already heard some of the information that the audits are proceeding apace. And should be done in the next few weeks, both the 17 and 18 audits, which is probably the most important news. The other, I think, important news is that this board seems to be working more collegially, and that's of vital importance because there's much to be done. There are stations that are struggling. I'm not going to go into details. And one of the tasks of this PNB is to figure out how we're going to help this network sustain itself and become more credible nationally. And that, for me, is a personal goal. There are a number of bylaw changes that are sort of, you know, floating around, which may help the Pacifica National Board to be a more functional board of directors of a nonprofit organization. As most of you know, and maybe the new folks don't, is that these bylaws are incredibly impossible to navigate and really don't do a service to a nonprofit organization to have its board of directors actually work in harmony and work in a way with the executive director to actually get things done. So that's what I have to say so far.
Yes. Okay. You have a question? Do we want to have the reports first and then questions? Let's finish the reports first. Does Chris Corey, did you have anything to say? Or Sabrina? Or Tom?
Just that the committees we're still waiting for the committees to be filled. And the committees on the national level have just been filled. We didn't have a meeting last week. We do have one coming up this Thursday. If you guys want to listen to it, you can go to kpftx.org and listen to it live to the open session. And new members can get a feel for what a PMB meeting is like. It's definitely less contentious than they have been in the past, and I welcome you guys to get a little more familiar with what happens on the national level. So we're just waiting for the committees to be filled, and we'll be taking it from there. Looking forward to it.
Welcome news, definitely. Does Tom have anything to say?
He's about to say something. Let me try if I can get him going here.
Okay, we'll try to hear him.
Can you hear me? Yeah, I just wanted to say that our FCC attorney is continuing to donate his time helping us get back the CPB funding.
That's it?
Thank you, Tom.
That's all.
Okay, thank you, Tom. And we had a question from Steve.
Yeah, I think that I have some concerns about what's going on in the PMB, and especially some of the issues with the executive director. And I know people say that they're unhappy with the structure of PMB, but there is a movement to turn the local station boards into like cabs. People know about that? Yeah, okay. That would mean no more local elected station boards. They would be hand-picked, self-appointed boards. Now, we saw this happen at KQED, and basically there are no more labor people, there are no more consumer activists. It's all hand-picked by the management of KQED. I really don't want to see that at KPFA Pacifica and our local station board. The other thing is that I've been listening to the PNB meetings, and I have agreements with Maxie on particularly multimedia, but he has spent a large amount of time talking about BBC, bringing BBC and more strip programming onto KPFA and Pacifica. And I have a problem with that. Frankly, there's community programming in Africa that we can have without having BBC. BBC is an arm of the British government. And I have a concern that the executive director is, rather than focusing on more community programming, developing local programming, and that kind of thing within our system. We have a large number of great local programmers. He's looking to BBC and somebody else, a corporate or governmental agency, to get programming. And I think we need to focus on developing the local programmers and programmers internationally who can contribute to Pacifica and our stations. And we have a large number of them around the world.
Thank you, Donald.
Well, Steve, I'm happy to say we're in total agreement.
He is under evaluation. The executive director will be under a six-month evaluation coming up in the next 2 weeks or so. That's open session. That's open session. We've been discussing it on the personnel committee, which can also go to kpftx.org again and listen to the open session.
Thank you, Sabrina. Appreciate that clarification. If that's it for the board reports, then we can. Richard, did you have a quick question?
Yeah, I was looking at the amendments, and it looked like one of the amendments seemed to be about that idea of changing into kind of a CAB thing. Did I misunderstand what those amendments we had?
No, that's not one of the amendments.
Okay.
Not the current ones.
Not the ones we're voting on today.
No.
Okay.
They're not up for vote.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Right. Now, Carol?
Sorry, I just wondered if anybody on the PMB knows anything about the timeline for the election for 2019.
The new national election supervisor is actually the old national election supervisor, Renee Palazzo.
She's good.
Yeah. So she has been she's been hired, rehired again for 2019, and she will be taking the steps to start the 2019 campaign probably in this summer, around July, June or July, so another couple months.
Thanks, Sabrina. Good. She did a great job last time, so I appreciate you, board members, under terribly difficult circumstances. Thank you
very,
so much.
Very, bad, yeah.
Okay, if there are no other questions, we can take a break, and I'm going to ask the body what their desire is for the timeline. Half hour. People want to go get food. Okay, yes.
So I brought some snacks and stuff to share because I saw the no food sign, so I didn't put it out. But I'm going to be out there, and I'll have extra food if anyone, you know. I even have.
Yeah. Well, no. The 20 minutes? Okay, 20-minute break. It is 1:25. So we should be back here at about a quarter of. Okay, 1:45. Yeah, quarter of, yeah. 1:45. It's a different language.